Hi, and welcome to the Leadership Now series with Nick Vujicic and Christine Grimm, Aria Consulting, 23 years of executive coaching, and I'm humbled that she is my coach. I could not lead without the sound coaching from Christine. I'm so glad, Chris, that we get to coach everyone watching. Tell us what we're going to be experiencing here on this series.
Yeah, we're going to coach you around leadership, around real challenges, how to navigate the challenges that you have right now, and how to feel good about it.
I'm so excited, Chris. You're going to be sharing with us also your pool of CEOs that can bring in and chime in some principles from their experience as well. Thank you for joining us here on the Leadership Now series. Here's today's episode. Hello and welcome to the first episode of the Leadership Now series with Nick Vujicic and Christine Grimm here on podcast live. I'm joined with one of my dear friends and executive coaches, Christine Grimm from Aria Consulting for 23 years, consulting CEOs and leaders, worldwide leaders to help them lead their company, their families, and have always continual healthy mindsets during challenges and times of adversity. And I want to tell you, as a CEO of a very, very, very small company or organization compared to the clients that Christine Grimm coaches from Fortune 50s all the way down to startups and nonprofits, I have personally seen the incredible, invaluable wisdom and help, encouragement, wisdom that I've gotten for me to become a strong leader. And we just wanted to share Christine Grimm to the world. And I just wanted to say, Christine, thank you for changing my life. Thank you for helping me. A lot of people know me as a speaker, as an author, someone who travels around the world, but they don't understand that I myself, even though I encourage people, I have a coach. And her name is Christine Grimm. And it's an interesting dynamic for me to just open up some personal things that the world has never heard come from my mouth in what I've learned about leadership. But Christine, it's an honor to do this Leadership Now series with you to help bring value and encourage those listening all around the world. So thank you so much for doing this.
Thanks for having me. I'm really excited to have this conversation with you. But I think you're right. I think some people don't know that you are a leader, like for real, every day, nonprofit and for profit, right? So yeah, let's talk a little bit about that, because I think that's the best way to get into this conversation. And then we can talk about what coaching is.
Totally.
But yeah, why don't we talk about that? Because like I was saying, I think that the story in the world about you is the guy with no arms and legs. Duh. an amazing speaker, an author, but probably I'm guessing most people take for granted that every day you're in the nitty gritty of managing a team and worried about business, the same as other leaders that I'm coaching all the time.
Well, I just want to say it's been quite a journey. We met roughly 6 years ago, and it's been definitely amazing for me to realize that it's easy to be lonely as a leader and a CEO, with vision, with emotions of attachment of what we think should be done and how it's done. And I want to say that I'm still growing, and I'm never gonna stop growing. And I feel like that's part of the first thing to understand is, like, when I first even heard of the term, well, I'm a coach. Okay. Is that a cheerleader? Is that this? Is it that? And it really evolved and brought me to a realization. It's doing life with someone else on a level like no one else, to help think through priorities and decision-making processes that I realized that it's always healthy to be able to get a person on the outside looking on the inside, who can help break down the emotions, the business, and the psychology of leading a team and growing an organization.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you bring up a bunch of really good points, actually. And maybe we should talk about why you were ready for a coach, because that's different for people. I think there are leaders out there who are asked to get a coach by their board, by the people around them. You know, sometimes in situations where a few are forced to do it. But there's a whole other group of people like you who voluntarily said, I need that objective, trusted advisor to be in this with me. I'm trying to think of what was happening exactly at the time that you called. But we've definitely dove in some growth issues, some team issues. I think back 6 years ago, we spent a lot of time on LWL's team.
Yep.
Right. Hiring the right people, what that growth was going to look like based on your incredible vision, you know, which isn't easy for leaders. I think that's something that, you know, maybe is, we can talk about that, what it means now, now this incredibly different time for leaders. But a lot of leaders have had a vision like you, a really bold vision. In a normal time, that's difficult to do, right? To lead your team and get them to execute. But now we have a total disruption to not only how we're doing business, but maybe even what the future might look like. So, you know, let's talk a little bit about what leadership means right now for you.
Yeah, look, for everyone there, we have a nonprofit organization, Life Without Limbs, that was founded in America 15 years ago. And it was almost like a timeout called by the board of saying, okay, Nick, you're a visionary. You want to go around the world. Yep. This is what we've done so far as an organization, where you can talk about your faith. And then how does that talk, if at all, to any activities outside of the organization when you do motivational speaking and this and that and balancing all this? And everyone's been telling me, Nick, you run so fast, you leave your legs behind, you do too much. And that was the time that also I asked my brother to come out from Australia to help consolidate the 9 things that I was doing apart from the organization.
I think there were 90 things.
I think and probably
there
90
were not
things.
9 things.
And it's like I didn't realize that I was my worst enemy on many things and many accounts, and to consolidate and focus on that. Yet though, with other people's opinions and perspective, it's like, okay, I need myself a timeout to really help consolidate and acknowledge that I haven't got a strategic plan. And it was about 5 or 6 years ago where I was challenged, like, Nick, timeout. What is the plan? What's the vision? You know, you want to do everything, you're doing everything, but what's the direction as the captain of the ship? And I think that was like, okay, I'm going to take a breath and I'm going to consolidate all the, not the noise, but everyone's opinion and even my own voices, and really having that self-awareness and reflection. It was a disruption for me 5 or 6 years ago in the nonprofit. Mm-hmm. And actually now having this COVID-19 pause or reset, however anyone wants to say, it's actually come to a point where I'm now, the nonprofit's going amazing during this time because we have a plan. We got an incredible team, healthy board of dynamics, a dynamic of board. Mm-hmm. Financially, you know, so thankful that our nonprofit is still going strong. Our plans are going even actually accelerated because of this pivot online, where we might be, we're actually thinking, wait a second, do we really have to wait 5 or 10 years from now to really go that way? Why don't we now just move that way now if we can? And so exploring that, yet at the same time, the speaking circuit,
totally a
drought. And so it's forced me to do another reflection during 2020 on everything outside of the nonprofit organization. What's the plan? Who am I?
Yeah.
Who's Nick?
Yeah.
And who's
who do you
want to
be?
Who do I want to be? Yeah. And that is, I think, the biggest thing that you have helped me to understand is going back to the basics. Who are you and what do you feel you need and want? Mm-hmm. Because if I didn't, I'll tell you right now, and you know me, if this didn't happen, I would have continued. And I've been saying,
for sure,
right? And I've been saying, it shouldn't continue. I don't want to be on the road as much as I am. The nonprofit, great rhythm, but everything else is like, what's the direction? What's the foundation for a sustainable, scalable way in reaching more people without me having to travel? So to me, this has been a great healthy pause, as difficult as it has been. And you as my coach, you've seen me go through a couple weeks of panic and mental block and me not being motivated. Do you know what I did? You don't know this, but you know Carla, my longest employee here for 15 years. I said, Carla, she laughed and then she stopped. I said, Carla, I said, I don't feel motivated.
Oh.
And I said, can you give me a pep talk? And she laughed and she's like, sure. And so I asked her the next day to film to just an audio recording. Mm. And I listened to it. And coming from the longest employee since I was 23, it just she helped me. And it's friendship, but it's real, raw, honest discussions that you have the authority to speak into a leader and say, really? Is that what really is going on? Or what's really good through these obstacles? What are the opportunities now?
Mm-hmm. I wanna add to this story, because something else happened over the last 6 years. And if you remember, one of the things that I was able to do with you, because you allowed it, was to help you see where you needed to pause more. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't just strategic planning, because if you also remember, there is a really important part of the story that's playing out now that we've prepared for. And that is, you were really getting ready to start a family. That now, poof, we have four children. Woohoo, you do, aren't you? Look at that.
How did that happen?
It's so miraculous quick. And it's awesome. And, you know, back then, part of that strategic planning was we needed to find some balance in the NIC flow. You know, I love looking back at that, because you were so used to being the bachelor guy on the road, speaking, getting so much energy, frankly, from being in front of big crowds and your success as an evangelist, you know, as a impromptu speaker. People don't realize that about you, I think, which is the energy that you have and that you get in that environment. But that also comes with something that you and I identified, which is a problem for leadership, right? Because it doesn't always translate well when you need to ground your team with a plan, when you need to prioritize, when you need to say no. Ooh, remember that?
Yeah, I know,
we've had those. And I don't know if you remember this, but a few times I kept saying, these are not unique problems, right? Other leaders have these problems too. And we've got to kind of pull the reins a little bit and look at what you're doing. It's not wrong what you're doing, but you might have to slow it down, or you might have to resource it differently. And, you know, I feel like all the lessons that have had to happen over the 6 years have brought us to this. And now, like COVID-19, you're one of my leaders that I knew could handle it in a probably a healthy way, even though it was major. And a month ago, when we started talking about, you know, events being canceled, I knew that was a big deal for you, not just from a business standpoint, but personally, because you get all your energy from that. That's who you are, right? So shifting to digital was not only a new way of doing things, it was a fundamental change in how you present yourself to the world. And because of that, the impact on your team and your family were going to be very real. But I knew, like, oh, we've prepared for this. Like, you know, Nick knows how to actually manage himself differently. He knows how to pivot. He knows how to plan with his team differently. He surrounded himself with people who can help him do that, right? So I feel like, oh, look, we're 3 or 4 weeks in, and look what we're doing right now. Mm-hmm. Right? That could not have happened if we didn't go through what you needed to go through before to learn.
Yeah, for sure. The maturity of that.
That's right.
For everyone.
That's right.
And we always feel like, oh, my situation is so unique. Mm-hmm. It's not about the COVID-19. Mm-hmm. It always comes back to the basics. Okay, what's happening? Mm-hmm. Don't let it define you nor control you. And I have to say, it's difficult to keep that mindset. without someone checking in on you mm-hmm. and saying, hey, mm-hmm. how are you doing? Because it makes you pause, just like you did for me. And it makes you stop and think and to look at it from a different perspective. Mm-hmm. And not letting those emotions and regrets that were in me.
That's right.
I wish I did this earlier. I was told by the people around me, you need to go online. You need to do online programming, mm-hmm. courses. You need to stop traveling yeah. around the world. You need to, you know, become a father, stay closer to the U.S. And because I was too comfortable. Mm-hmm. And what worked previously, mm-hmm. I just banked on it continuing on. I mean,
you're not the only one.
So it's good to be reminded of that.
Look, the reflection is super important. And I would say to you, you know, you are also living something. We had a Zoom call the other day. I don't know if you remember, you know, you were at home and there's the kids and your lovely wife who's trying to keep order while you're doing that.
She's amazing.
And I think I was saying to you, every leader I'm working with right now who is working from home is having some version of this. And so it's become kind of part of my deal, right? As I'm saying to all of you, time out. Like, first of all, realize you're not alone. Like, right. We're all doing this. And, you know, pause sometimes and think about the people around you and that maybe there's an opportunity to cut through what a lot of people feel is chaotic, by the way. That is a theme for many leaders I'm talking to, specifically those of you who are not used to being at home very often.
I was going to ask, like, what are the unhealthy things that yeah. you've seen now with the CEOs? And
you know, I have a good handful of leaders who are used to being in an office, you know, a big fancy corner office with an administrative assistant who is really great at gatekeeping and controlling things. At the moment, I think that has been disrupted, right? But we're a good month into this, so it's not new anymore. But working from home, you know, for many people, and by the way, not just the executives, I think that for anyone who now is working from home and have never done that before, you know, that was a big change. You know, there's a lot of people who weren't set up to do that. You know, be thankful that you are. I say that to my execs all the time. You know, if you have a home office and you actually have great Wi-Fi and great connectivity, a quiet space and the devices so that you can connect with people and still do your business, then be happy about that. A lot of people don't have that. So we have people taking calls from their bedrooms and from their kitchen tables and from their patios and, you know, a whole bunch of ways that a few months ago they wouldn't have thought that was leadership, frankly. Mm-hmm. And their teams are spread out and remote and also going through what felt in the beginning to be hard. You know, how do we do this? How do I do this with my wife and kids and pets and things? And what if my spouse is also working and now we have kids homeschooling and, you know, this is a whole new way of thinking about how we work.
And what about for Aria Consulting? How about you and your team? How did you guys pivot and handle all that?
Yeah, we, first of all, we have an office, but we don't spend a lot of time in our office. We're doing our jobs when we're with you. So we're on site. We've spent 23 years being on site or on the phone with people. So our biggest change has been all the video-based sessions. The other thing we're seeing is, you know, we've had to pay attention to managing boundaries with our leaders, staying focused on business when a lot of our leaders are having a difficulty focusing on business because of all the other stressors, mm-hmm. you know, and the uncertainty and the awkwardness of maybe doing business in a new way. And I know you've had a little bit of that.
Yeah, a lot. I mean, let's get to the big one. I mean, seriously, as a leader, as the one who writes the checks for the payroll, right? Mm-hmm. And you're really worried. You yeah. know, what does that look like when the biggest unknown is how long all this unknown is going to remain as unknown? Mm-hmm. You know, and then the small business loans got out. Will yeah. we get them? And when does it change? When does it, the financial uncertainty and responsibility? Mm-hmm. What should every leader think through on that mm-hmm. for this disruption right now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's such a great question. I know you've heard me say it, and sometimes I think you listen to me and sometimes you don't, like everyone. you know, I would say the number one thing leaders should be doing right now is to take the opportunity to reboot, which for some people is a really hard message. You know, before this, there were things that weren't working. So I would say to you and to other leaders, if you come out of the COVID-19 drama and the same problems that you had before are still the same conversation, then you should probably ask yourself why that is. Like, why did I allow that? You know, this is a time where everything's changing, so it should be a time that you're really looking at the things that coulda, shoulda, woulda be changing, right? Like, let's make sure that we're looking at our business and not just the obvious things. I think it's easy to be caught up in fear and uncertainty. Like you said, there is a lot of speculation around when we go back, and when we're going to go back to normal, and how are we going to go back to normal. And to me, that is maybe the wrong thinking right now. I get that it's real. I also believe that there is an opportunity right now to focus on possibility, to, in the moments when you cannot be caught up in fear, to be looking at what can I do now? What can my people do now to solve the problems we have now? Make sure that at the end of this, this is not the Titanic, you know, that everybody gets in the lifeboat, maybe would be a really good idea. And to get your heads out of your own problems. I know yesterday I was on the phone with some executives and having this conversation where I'm like, guys, like, there are certain things that right now you can't do, for sure, right? Your people can't fly around and do the sales calls that they were doing before this happened. I believe that's temporary, but we don't know when it comes back. So how about if they spend their time solving real problems now? Even if that means refocusing people on helping local food banks or making sure that people who can't take care of themselves, you know, get what they need delivered. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, there is nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm. And people might say that's not productive, that's not working on our own business. And I would say it clears people's heads. Service tends to clear people's heads in a new way. And all of a sudden, creativity shows up where fear was controlling them before. And I know you and I have talked a lot because you're such a fabulous speaker on things like fear. But right now, you know, one of the reasons I think that I wanted to do this with you is that, you know, now is a special time. And the opportunity to, like, I call it the reboot, whatever that means for people, is the opportunity. And by the way, I don't mean that in a negative way. I've had leaders say, what are you saying, that I need to, like, lay off people? And I'm like, no, this is not what that's about. Like, if in fact your business is already in a place that wasn't prepared for something major to happen, and I would say most organizations weren't prepared for this. We've never, in our lifetimes, we haven't really had this before.
Never.
So instead of, though, being paralyzed by it and afraid of it and trying to predict the future, it is just a better use of leadership energy to sit with your team and plan. Do a SWOT analysis if you need to, right? Really have your, a SWOT, everybody, is strengths and weaknesses, opportunities, threats. Like, what is the current state of our business? What was it before? What were we ignoring? What did we think that we couldn't do? What could we do? How can we do that? Those kind of juices are good for people right now, right? It gives hope and it gives possibility and it brings creativity.
Yeah.
You know, instead of people getting stuck.
Yeah. Getting stuck in the yuck.
Right.
One of the greatest hashtags that should be so famous from Christine Graham. We love that. Our team loves that. Don't get stuck in the yuck.
It's true.
How do you unstick from the yuck? Mm-hmm. You know, like I'm just being raw here. Mm-hmm. I was like, how long can you sit in the corner and try to process this? You know what's been happening in my life in the last 16 days. Mm-hmm. How do you unglue yourself from the glue that's sticking you up against the wall and you don't even know how much time do you give? Who do you consult? Do you talk to someone? Do you not? I'm thinking of so many leaders who need a key or two to get make sure that they're not stuck in the yuck.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think at the moment, the yuck has so many dimensions to it. And I mean that, right? There's a, you watch the news for too long.
Mm.
That's yuck. Mm-hmm. you know, if you let yourself and your team only talk about problems, that's another yuck, right? If you allow yourself to feel bad about having to work from home or whatever the limitations are or change that you're feeling, those are all what I call dimensions of yuck, right? It's all different. And for people who are having them all at the same time, that's a lot. Mm. And no wonder they're stuck, right? Because that's like quicksand and hard to get out of. So I would say one thing that should be happening is people should be taking care of themselves and, you know, making sure that they are exercising right now and getting fresh air.
Mm-hmm.
That's super important, regardless of what they have going on. I would say making sure you're connecting with people. A lot of people are isolated. And so a part of not getting stuck, Nick, is having conversations that are fresh, that aren't just about ourselves and our stuff, right? Talk about something other than the yuck.
Right.
That's a good idea.
Totally.
You know, that's a big one. Because I think people like to talk about problems. Type A leaders, like to solve problems, I should say. And so talking about them with people is a part of that process. But at a time like now, and I think we've had this conversation in the last few weeks as you're dealing with real stuff, you know, I think you just have to balance how much you're focused on those things.
Yeah.
And, you know, make sure, you know, you do something really great, which is talk about being, you know, grateful and shifting your thinking. And you're good at that. You're better at it than most people, frankly. So that's why I always say to you that on your worst days, you're actually better than you think. because you have been trained your whole life to reframe things. Right, you don't act like a disabled person, Nick.
Right.
That alone is something you and I have talked about before. Like, you have the mental capacity to do something that a lot of people struggle to do. So what we're asking people to do is that, right? To really, even though there's physical evidence around us, we have to wear masks to go to the grocery store, right? There's some things that are happening that are scary.
Yeah.
And because that physical evidence exists, of course people are going to get stuck in it a little bit. Right, but you've got to reframe that sometimes. And sometimes that means creating space every day and, you know, doing something that takes you out of it physically.
Yeah, and I have to say that you helping me understand how valuable and refreshing friendships are,
mm-hmm,
that are not associated with the business,
right,
and the people in my circle of operations.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt that over the last couple of years. I didn't realize how much, even though I'm Nick and I love hugging everyone and, you know, just out there and very, I'm an extrovert, yet during these times, it's very easy for the most extrovert leaders to internalize everything, mm-hmm, even more so, where fear, mm-hmm, and uncertainty almost goes to a tipping point of, wait a second, man, am I depressed? If I'm not motivated and I feel defeated in some ways or whatever, this point helped me these last couple months where I put away a subconscious fear of inadequacy that I had in thinking, why should I call someone else when I don't really have much to tell them to add value to them? It's always like it's this subconscious mentality as a leader that while I have to serve and I have to add value to somebody, it's a subconscious fear of inadequacy, but we don't even understand how beautiful it is to put that time aside in a day to interrupt those negative patterns, not just stopping the news or having time for yourself or spiritual meditation and whatever you do spiritually and emotionally to get filled back up, but just connecting with someone else, mm-hmm, interrupting that day and realizing yeah, you know you're not the only one. You may not have any great advice to offer them, but just to connect.
Mm-hmm.
During this time of social distancing,
that's right.
I know some people that have actually been connected with friends like never before.
Because
rediscovered
yes.
the amazing value that human beings are not supposed to do life alone.
It's so true. Look, right now, I so agree with you. What I am finding, the people who are taking the time to do it, is, you know, this is the best time to, for people who don't like to network, frankly, you know, to reach into your network, whether that's on LinkedIn or, you know, just colleagues and friends and family, like you're saying, that you haven't spoken to in a long time, and just care about them. Mm. How are you? Mm. Are you okay? Like, what's going on in your world? And just live in that. That is the best pattern interrupt for your stuck in the yuck that I could think of. It really, I think, is refreshing. I know I found it to be refreshing. And I'm not talking about like Zoom happy hour. I know that's become a thing for people. That's great too. But I'm talking about like real connections, because you just said something was, you know, really important. I don't think that we can really get to how isolated some people are. You know, like it's hard to estimate how many people out there are alone, people who live alone. I know that one of our clients, I just did a call with them and their head of HR to have this conversation. They've got a lot of young, under 40, unmarried, no kids. They are predominantly in metropolitan areas, so they have these beautiful, wonderful young people who work for them, who live alone, who had very active social lives before this. And they were surprised to know that some of these people are, you know, living through the work at home at their parents' homes or with other people so that they wouldn't be completely alone. And from a leadership perspective, I would say, you know, that needs to be on every leader's to-do list. Like, find out who on your team is alone, 24 hours a day. Maybe in a small apartment or maybe in a large home. It doesn't really matter where they are, but realize, you know, what that's like. And if they're already introverted, like some of my engineering friends and developers who were already less extroverted than you and I, this might be hard for them. They may say they love it, but they might not actually. So a great connection point.
All right. I know what a coach is. I know what you have really helped me with mm-hmm. to resolve in my own mind. I think the majority of everything we've talked about has never really been about the situation or the people or the circumstance.
Yeah.
As much as it's about you and your perspective of yourself and where you're at and where you think you're supposed to be going. Mm-hmm. What is a coach and how does it work for those who have mm-hmm. never had a coach out mm-hmm. there? Mm-hmm. Dovetailing this now with someone who's an expert and done this now for 23 years with huge companies. Mm-hmm. Tell us, Christine, what is a coach and how does it work?
I would say, well, first of all, there's different kinds of coaches. And in the last 23 years, that's changed a lot. When I started ARIA, executive coaching was still fairly new, and it was really only something that happened in corporate. You know, companies paid for executives to have coaches, and that was kind of where it started and stopped. Now, you know, there are life coaches, you know, people who are available to individuals who want to have that sounding board or someone to bring them tools. I would say what we all have in common, whether we're an executive coach or a team coach or a strategic advisor or a life coach, you want someone who you can trust and you have chemistry with. That's super important.
Super important.
Probably the most important thing.
Really important.
You know, they should have some experience and a toolkit that can bring new perspectives and, like I said, new tools when needed to you and maybe your team, if that's the scope. I think the other thing is you want to make sure that, well, I'll use you and I as an example. One of the reasons I think that we've been successful together is that you trusted me enough that you're willing to listen to me when I'm the person telling you that your thinking is flawed. Or maybe that you've grown out of old thinking that might have worked before, but it doesn't work anymore because you, your business, your team, something is different. You know, I know that you know this. Sometimes it takes some bravery for the coach to know that you're going to be able to hear that. And not only does that come with experience, like I said, there has to be a certain chemistry between the two of you. Your styles have to work together. I can be very direct with you. And by the way, thank you for that. That's a privilege. But another coach might not feel like they were able to do that with you, right? Like there has to be, and I know that you always tell me the truth, even in the situations where you've messed up. Or you know your thinking is flawed, right? When you're saying mm-hmm. it's not working, I'm doing this, something's happening. And when you call or text and say, you know, can we have some time to talk through? I know you're going to be humble and vulnerable with me and share the details so that as I'm reflecting back to you and helping you think about it in a new way, that you're not leaving parts of it out because you're afraid of what I'm going to think. And that's magic, by the way, that doesn't always happen. So I would say to anyone, you know, if you want a coach, if a leader really wants a coach, they should look for that, right? That chemistry and the toolkit and the experience and the willingness of the coach to hit you on the head sometimes.
It's awesome. It's a love-hate relationship.
You hate me?
No, I don't hate you. I just know what you're going to tell me and I'm going to hate it at the time. But going back,
so true.
It's been incredible because it's that growing pain and the challenge. And so thank you for challenging me to be better. I mean, that's all it is.
Yeah.
You are committed
yep.
to helping me be the best leader that I can be. And sometimes it's going to suck and hurt and
yes.
really be hard sometimes. Oh. But it's been nothing but a joy. So thank you for sharing just our relationship with the world.
Yep.
And I really hope and know that a lot of people are going to be encouraged and maybe for the first time thinking about having a coach mm-hmm. and understanding that we don't have to lead on our own. Thank you for everything that you've done for me and my teams, but really me and my family. Because if I'm not healthy, if I'm not at my best, then I'm not my best at anything that I do. And so thank you for helping me find that balance and wisdom and direction. I love you, Chris.
I love you too.
Air fist bump. I got my hand sanitizer. Don't worry. guys, I hope that you really enjoyed this. Please comment below how today's first series of the Leadership Now program has helped you, encouraged you. Share it, review it, rate it. And we love you so much. And maybe contact us. Go to nickvojcic.com. And when you go to the contact page, select the down drop menu podcast and give us some ideas of what you'd like us to unpackage or get into or have a deep dive into. Whether you're a small business owner, an executive, or whoever you are, we all need to be strong leaders in everything we do. And we sometimes cannot do it on our own. Let me tell you, as one person who has had the blessing of having a coach like Chris, it is life-changing. And I'm so thankful for it. So we hope that today's been encouraging for you. We'll see you next time on Leadership Now. Hey guys, thank you so much for listening. Help us reach as many people as possible by giving us a rating, a review, and subscribing to this podcast. Love you so much. And remember, share this with anyone you know who needs to hear this as well. I'll see you next week.